It's the Chai Cooking Corner on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good morning and welcome to the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm coming to you live from the studio on this very special, special day. This show is dedicated to the memories of both my late father, Ephraim Yeruchim Yitzchak ben Nechemia, who would have been 86 today, and to my blessed mother, Rachel Bas Abraham, whose first yortzat it is this Shabbos. So this show is all about curries, and to my mother, the best curry maker in town. We were actually chatting to my cousins the other day, and he said, you know what? She was the best fish maker in town as well. Never mind curry maker. She was the best chopped herring maker. The best chopped liver maker. The way she baked her lamb, her chicken soup. I mean, every beautiful thing that a Jewish mother could make to keep her family nourished, she made. And so this show is all about, how do you take your curry, ma'am, sir? So let's see, curry, one of the most flavorful dishes in the world. The dish known as curry is now actually so varied and widespread across the globe that its definition must remain very open to include numerous cuisines and numerous cooking styles. I mean, you can taste something that is actually Taiwanese and it tastes like curry. You can taste something in Durban, which is the best curry in the world. You can taste something in Israel, which is quite spicy and tastes quite curryish. But there is something, maybe I'm biased because I come from Durban, but there is something so rich, so colorful, so deep in taste and texture from a Durban curry that I can't even begin to explain. So I actually decided I was going to interview the lady who, together with Clinton Friedman, who was the photographer, Erica Platter, and Debbie Govender. I know you know Debbie Govender from Carte Blanche. She's an investigative journalist at Carte Blanche. And they decided to write a book called Durban Curry. And it was quite interesting. I was in Durban and I got it at the Holocaust Museum. And I have not stopped making recipes from this incredible book. And just a little something that Debbie said. She said, if you love curry, you will come across recipes you either forgot about or never knew existed. If you're new to the world of curries, within these pages are carefully sourced formula lovingly shared by their inventors. I can confidently predict that you will concur that Durban curries are rather spectacular. So this book actually won quite a few awards, and it is a most terrific book on curries. And as I say, I've used a lot of their recipes. And we'll also be talking about rotis and things that we can accompany with our Durban curries. And usually flatbreads like naans and rotis and things like that. And of course, the famous, what is it called again? Disappeared for a minute, bunny chows and those kind of things that we'll be discussing. So curry powders actually can be a lot of different things. So what's one curry powder to you may not be another kind of curry powder to me. And basically the range of spices that go into a curry powder is normally about, you can go from 10 to 15. There's cumin, there's coriander, there's turmeric, there's ginger, there's mustard, there's fenugreek and black pepper. But one thing about a Durban curry, that you fry all these spices in just a little bit of oil first to really get that flavor out of the spices and sort of press them, and you get those beautiful, all the perfumes coming out of all these different spices and herbs. We're just going to go to a break, and then I'll come back with some lovely curry ideas.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
You're tuned into the Cooking Corner. I'm Sharon Lurie, the kosher butcher's wife, and we're talking about Durban curries. But let me go to it quick. So we are going back to Durban curry, and we are going to be chatting to Eric Platter, who obviously lives in Durban. And we'll be, you know, it's a very difficult thing to actually, you know, most people have a mouth for curries, a certain kind of mouth. And I know, like, my sister-in-law likes coconut milk in her curry, which is pareve, as most of you know. My husband loves fiery, hot chilies. Others like a lot of danya or coriander. Some don't like that at all, as I believe, as I told you before, 10% of the population won't eat it. But sometimes, you know, if my son doesn't know, it's there, I put a little bit in. Some like a really sort of cumin taste, which is the shawarma taste that you get. That has a lot of cumin in it. There's just all different things that we can put into our curry, which still keep it termed curry. But let's hear what Erica Platter, the author of Durban Curry, So Much of Flavor, People, Places, and Secret Recipes from all the famous places in Durban, which I remember growing up. We used to go to some of these places, and all the different chefs in Durban, some famous, some not so famous, some of the hole-in-the-wall places that are incredibly well-known all over the world. But let's listen to what she has to say. Good morning, Erica. Thank you for joining us on Chai FM this morning. Lovely to chat to you. I have to tell you a little story. A year ago, I'm in Durban, and we're at the Holocaust Museum in Durban, and my husband goes, "Now, if there's a book I'm going to buy you, it is this wonderful book called Durban Curry. So much of flavor."
Okay. Your husband has great taste.
So he says to me, "You know, you get a curry absolutely perfectly, and then you forget to write down the recipes, but this Durban Curry book, this is going to do it for you, I'm telling you." Anyway, I came home and I started making all these delicious recipes from your book, and I thought, no, I've got to chat to you. I've got to find out all about Erica Platter. So you must be related to the famous John Platter. Am I right?
He's related to me. That's how I like to put it.
Okay, he's related to you. All right. Yes. Your husband.
Yes, he's my husband.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
So when I saw this book and I saw all the people that were involved, and I see you've got Devi Govender, who's the investigative journalist on Carte Blanche, on Mnet. I thought, well, okay, this is going to be some really, we're going to have some really great recipes here. So tell me how the book came about for you.
Well, it came about, I think I must go even beyond this book and go back to my very first food book, which was called East Coast Tables. And that came about through sheer fury, if I can put it like that. Yes, we were in China. John was giving a tasting of South African wines, and there was a banquet of so-called South African foods set out to show the Chinese exactly what our cuisine is all about. And there was only stuff from the Cape, what I might call Cape Dutch food, you know, with the, that sort of influence. There wasn't even a hint of any other province or area or region or produce or community in the country. And I'm afraid I was incensed. I'm from KZN. I'm born and brought up here. I spent a lot of my life in the Cape, in the wine areas and wine business, but this is home, and I think it's very, very underrated, its cuisine and its produce. So I started with a photographer, designer friend, and we did two books on the produce of the coast and the produce of inland, you know, the Midlands and the Berg. Yes. And then I thought, for trick number three, what shall we do? Why don't we do a book dedicated to celebrating the only dish that city can claim in South Africa? There's no Cape Town this or Joburg that, but there is Durban curry. Why don't we do a book celebrating this? And Clinton, my photographer, designer partner, said, but we are whiteies. I said, no, well, that doesn't matter. Of course we're whiteies, but we're reporters. We're not going to do the recipes ourselves. Of course not. But we're going to find the people who have had these recipes handed down to them from their aunties and uncles and grannies, and we're going to go to all the places that make the best curries, and we're going to try and find out what it is that makes Durban curry so unique. And so we did. And long story. But anyway, we did it, and for some reason, it seemed to appeal to all sorts of people. And even internationally, it won all sorts of international awards.
Yes, it won some couple of Gourmand awards.
Yes. Oh, and that's amazing. And it's in its third printing. Yes. And we think it's probably going to go into its fourth printing. And it's all due to the fact that these are the recipes from people who know this dish and love this dish. And I think that comes through. I hope so. What do you think?
Oh, definitely comes through. I mean, and well, you see, also being an old Durban girl.
I really
appreciate curries. And as my husband always says to me, you come from Durban. I make a decent Durban curry. what do you think makes a Durban curry so unique? What is it? Is it?
Well, you know, that's another thing. And I have to confess a certain failure here, because I don't think we've actually nailed it down completely. You know, we're not ever going to be able to say that we're 100% sure that every single box is ticked. Because, right, you know, everybody makes a curry, or any dish, in fact, differently, correct, don't they?
Absolutely.
And there's no sort of set formula. What we did find was that it should be red.
Yes.
It should be red, and it should be hot.
What?
Right. I've added it. It probably needs to come with its own oil slick, because it isn't an oilier curry than many.
Yes.
But it's definitely not yellowy.
Right.
And it's definitely also not sweet. It's much more savory than, for example, a Cape Malay curry.
Right.
But some people said, oh, it's because there's much more fresh stuff in it, you know, fresh herbs and things. I don't know. I think it may be hotter, you
right.
know, than some curries. It's not like an Indian curry. Where sometimes they put in the spices after they put in the onions. We always put in the spices first.
Right, and they put the spices up beforehand.
Yes, exactly, exactly.
Right.
And in India, of course, they don't make it often with oil. They will make it with ghee, and we nearly always make it with oil.
Yes.
But I don't know. It's very, very difficult. Some people had the theory that there were only a certain number of spices that the first Indian immigrants brought to Durban, So it's more limited in its array of spices than perhaps an Indian, northern Indian curry or something like that. Also, there is the influence of a lot of the southern Indian immigrants in it. But honestly, I can't say that we actually know 100% what it is.
Yes,
can smell it and see it, can't you, and taste it.
Yes, there is definitely something different. In fact, a friend of mine also comes from Durban, and the two of us got into the kitchen one day, and she was going, no, needs more coriander, needs more danya. No, no, needs more that. I'm saying, no, needs more tomatoes. No, more garlic.
Yes, exactly.
More peri, more little, the little red chilies. I remember when Durban, we had an Indian gentleman working for us, and he used to grow these huge chili bushes. And I used to sit and watch him. And it was basically, it was the chili, the danya, and he used to make a lot of potatoes, always adding a lot of potatoes to it. I don't know why I didn't see that many carrots. It was the meat, the potato, the chili. Anyway, I don't know. Everybody has their own little thing.
But potatoes are important, and I must say that Indian visitors who come from India to Durban complain that there are often too many potatoes in for example, the mutton curry.
Right.
But that is a throwback to when the very first immigrants came, and they were stretching. They were poor.
Yes.
And they were stretching their meals, so they were stretching them with whatever they could find, and whatever was cheap, you see. So that's where that comes from.
Right.
But there is one thing that is completely ours, isn't there? And that's the bunny.
Oh, I was going to ask you. Let's talk about bunny chows.
Yes, and the bunny is an extraordinary creation. Last year I judged at the Coca-Cola Bunny Chow Barometer competition. I was really terribly honoured because although I'm a journalist and I love food, I wouldn't say I was a great a competition judge of food,
right.
That's for chefy chefs. But it was absolutely marvelous. All these curry dens, and there are a lot of curry dens in Durban.
Yes.
And they've got an absolutely fanatical following. It's like a football club. I mean, you're either Liverpool or you're Manchester or you're Pirates or you're Chiefs, but you're never more than one. Your allegiance is to one only, and the same with curry dens. Some people swear by this one, some people swear by the other one. And it was the most marvelous day and the most interesting day, because there were so many variations on this bunny, which is, look, I don't have to explain it to your listeners, do I? Will they know what a bunny is?
Well, hopefully we've got some overseas listeners as well. But
a bunny. Well, they actually are bunnies. Bunnies have become quite sort of fashionable in London. Smart bunnies. Mm-hmm. A bunny is a curry in a hollowed out quarter loaf of white bread, and the lid is put on top, the slicer at the top is put on top, and you use that to dip into your gravy or sauce, and then you kind of eat round it in a sort of concentric circle. It's terribly messy. I mean, all curry dens have to have basins and towels and goodness knows what else. And the basic, the very first bunnies were apparently, so history tells us, bean bunnies. Sugar beans, butter bean curries, and they were provided for black customers of restaurants in Durban, because in apartheid days, black lunches, black workers were not allowed to go in and sit down in the restaurant. So the owners of these places made this takeaway, a very ingenious takeaway, which was sort of cutlery and crockery all in one, your dish and your your little spoon made out of the bread.
Yes.
And then workers could eat this on a park bench or, you know, whatever. But it was a bit, it has a lot of struggle cred, the
yes.
bunny. You know, there's a thing called a kota in,
yes.
in Joburg, isn't
yes.
there? And that's
yes.
the same thing, really.
Yes.
Full yeah, it's a quarter of a loaf, but it's a K-O-T-A, a kota.
Yes. Now, if you had to suggest, we have a lot of newly married ladies listening to the show, and they'd like to make a curry. They don't know where to start. Where would you suggest they start? What kind of spices should they go out and buy and have in their cupboards?
You know, I think you must, first of all, find yourself a very good spice merchant. Now, if any of your listeners would like a really good tip, they should always buy these spices in Durban or in KZN. And in fact, everybody needs it always does. But no, look, I'm sure they're wonderful spice merchants elsewhere. And then you should try and search out a very good masala, a freshly roasted and mixed and masala, a.k.a. curry powder, I suppose. Please don't buy the things in packets. I really don't recommend that. Try and go to a spice merchant and get something ground for you. We have a wonderful little village shop here where I live on the north coast of KZN and owned by Cindy Villardam, who's in our book. And she roasts and grinds her spices freshly every week. And I've taken this all over the world, this curry powder, this masala, that's and people right. just 2 tablespoons of it, and you yes. can turn a tin of beans into an absolute gourmet feast.
Uh-huh. Is it the red masala that's in the book?
It's a red one. Yes, it's a red one. Now,
okay.
she wouldn't give me her recipe.
Oh,
no.
Oh,
it's
dear.
Secret. But there is a very good a recipe in the book. And I tell you what also is a very good recipe is the hot red Durban paste, which comes with a fish curry. Now,
yes.
I don't know if this is a tip that I was given, and it's so true.
Yes.
Fish curry, fish or prawns, or any seafood, if you use them in a curry, one of our great friends, the late Neville Ready at Impulse by the Sea Curry Restaurant, he said, right, one tip, it must be shaken, not stirred.
Uh-huh.
So if you use, yeah, exactly, it's the bond of curries.
Yes.
If you are introducing fish, you do not put your fish in at the beginning or
uh-huh.
prawns. You just poach them very quickly until they become opaque and cooked. At the end, and you first of all make your hot Durban sauce, and that is the most delicious sauce I think just about in the book. And it comes from the ladies whose cookbook is actually miles bigger than our Durban curry. It's called Indian Deluxe, but it's got recipes for every single thing in the whole world. You know, how to cure a wart, how to attract or chase away flies, how to cook anything.
And what
so
is,
it's an
what
encyclopedia.
Is it called,
it's called Indian Delight.
Indian Delight. Right, so we would...
And the secret of it is some red masala, but also fenugreek mustard seeds are very important. So...
Right, to fry those
garlic,
first.
Garlic, cumin.
Yes.
Turmeric.
Right.
Dhanajeera powder. And tamarind paste. In a fish curry, you've got to have tamarind paste.
Aha. Uh-huh. Okay.
Yeah, so but anyway, dhanajeera powder, curry leaves, turmeric, chilies, cumin, garlic, mustard seeds. They haven't got ginger in this particular one, but the holy trinity of curry is ginger, garlic, and garlic.
Ginger, garlic, okay.
No, and onion. Do you eat duck?
Yes, we eat duck, yes.
You must try duck curry. I know it sounds absolutely very weird, a duck curry, but I promise you,
yes,
you will absolutely love it. It is so delicious. And we've had friends who've made it for French people and all sorts of gourmets all over the world. And it's stunning.
Yes.
A duck curry.
Mm. Got to do that. And Jackie's lamb knuckle curry looks absolutely
delicious. That's a lovely one. That's delicious. Jackie Ray, who's the queen of caterers in KZN, who caters for every single big wedding and and event. She is absolute queen of catering, and she does little baby, as do a lot of the caterers here. Little baby bunny chars in tiny little cocktail. Yes. Rolls that yes. She does. That's also a lovely idea for a cocktail party. Make a little curry and then serve it in tiny little cocktail rolls.
Well, I quite enjoy curry dinner parties because there's just so many little things that you can put out between the papadums and your roti and your bowls of rice and things like that.
And all your pickles and achars.
And the achars and absolutely the chutneys. It's just wonderful. And just looking at this book, I mean, it really grabs you. I mean, the visual and the spicy.
Well, it's colourful, isn't it? Because that's what's so wonderful about, about Durban and this sort of cooking is it absolutely explodes with colour and heat and spice and energy.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Well, if you if you can't find the curry recipe that you're looking for, then I don't know, because this is...
Well, you'll find another one. You know, I mean, I get... There's one, for example, what is worse than cooked grated carrot? I mean, really dreadful.
Yes.
But the braised writer, made by our friend Charmaine Reddy, a restaurant just up the coast, it makes carrot into a whole new sort of animal, you know?
Yes.
It's delicious, really.
Well, I really can't wait to share all these delicious recipes with everybody, from vegetarian to duck to Dolly's brinjal, baby brinjal curry.
Banana kebabs.
Yes. Oh, all of them. We've got a real wonderful selection of curries. And anything else in the pipeline? What are any new books?
Well, yes, I know. And also, you mustn't forget that, I am related to the more famous Pasha. So, you know, he has given lots of hints on what to drink with the curries as well.
Yes.
In the pipeline, something exciting, food and wine, is coming up.
Uh-huh.
May not, obviously not completely cased in. But anyway, I'm still working on that. But in the meantime, maybe. What do you think? Do you think more Durban curry recipes needed?
To me, you can never have enough curry recipes. You can never have enough pies. I love my comfort food, as you can hear.
Yes.
Thank God my family do as well. And in fact, my grandchildren were brought up on curries. They love spicy food. They really do.
Quite right.
So,
quite right.
From the beginning, they learnt.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Welcome back to the show. Thank you for joining me. I'm Sharon Lurie, the Kosher Butcher's wife, and we are talking curries, Durban curries. So this is Jackie's lamb knuckle curry, which I promised we would share. It is a half a cup, 125 mils of sunflower oil, 4 onions, finely diced, 6 cloves of garlic, crushed, 1 thumb of grated ginger, and as somebody said to me the other day, my thumb's tiny. Yours is much bigger than mine. So how can you say a thumb of ginger? But basically, when we talk about a thumb of ginger, it's normally about 4 centimeters to 5 centimeters in length. 82 mils of masala. Now, I just gave you the recipe for masala spice. 5 mils of turmeric powder. 5 mils of cumin powder, the ground one, 5 mils of ground coriander, 2 tins of really good quality Italian tomatoes. You really want a good quality one because those are lovely and red. Otherwise, you can use your own fresh tomatoes. 4 sprigs of fresh thyme. You can use a teaspoon of dry thyme. 4 sprigs of curry leaves. You can use dried curry leaves. And you'd need about 2 kilos of lamb knuckle and about 10 mils of coarse salt. But you'll need to check for salt later because sometimes it just needs that little top up of salt. So you heat, of course you will need extra danya and curry leaves just for decoration. So you heat the oil in a heavy pot. Very important to always do your curries in heavy based pots. Something my mother taught me is always rather use one that can go into the oven, because you take it off the stove after you've fried everything, you've added a little bit of the water, you mix it, you can stick it into the oven if everybody's not home yet and you don't want your lamb to go too stringy. So you heat the lamb in a heavy pot, add onions, and you cook until they're translucent. Then you add the garlic, the ginger, cook that for just for a few minutes. Then you add the curry powder, the ground spices, and you stir continuously until the mixture is really well done. I mean, the smell that's going to come off this, you're not going to believe. It's really terrific. Then you add your lamb knuckles, turning to coat with the spice mixture. And you keep cooking that for about 20 minutes until it starts sort of getting a little brown. Make sure that you don't burn the pot, because you cannot get rid of that burnt taste once you've started cooking your curry. So be careful. Don't burn your curry. What's that saying? Don't be in a hurry, otherwise you'll burn your curry. Then you add 1 tin of tomatoes. 1 tin of tomatoes, the thyme, the curry leaves, and you put the lid on and you cook it on very low heat until the lamb is tender. So that would be about, she says, about 2.5 to 3 hours. But remember, it's got to be on really low. Then you add the 2nd tin of tomatoes just before the lamb is finished cooking, and you check the seasoning. And you add salt if necessary and garnish with fresh danya and curry leaves. Now, I know that some people don't like to see tomato in their food. So what you can do is, I've tried this before and it's fun, works well. You can add both the tin chopped tomatoes at the same time to your curry. Okay, so that is a lovely lamb curry. Now, I'd like to share a beef curry, something that we all love. I should find the beef curry recipe. Otherwise, we could do something really lovely in South African. We can do Devi Govender's sampan beans curry. And what you'll need is 500 grams samp. Now, I have to tell you, this worked out to be a great cholent dish, believe it or not. And what I did was I took 500 grams of the samp, 500 grams of the dried sugar beans. You'd also need 2 cups of chopped tomatoes, or one tin of tomatoes, 1 large onion chopped, 6 cloves of garlic roughly chopped. So what you do is you soak the samp and beans overnight in hot water in a covered container. And then the next day, you drain a few times until the water runs clear. Then you boil the sampan beans together with the tomato, the onion, and the garlic until soft but still holding their shape. And now, part two is you will need 4 tablespoons of vegetable oil, 1/2 teaspoon mustard seeds, 1/4 teaspoon cumin powder, 1/2 onion chopped, 2 curry leaves, about 16, or you can just use 1 tablespoon of dried curry leaves, 3 cloves of garlic finely diced, 3 chilies cut lengthways. You can put 4 in if you want, if you're daring enough. 1 tablespoon good quality masala powder, which is the masala recipe I gave you earlier. Salt to taste and some chopped dhania, which is coriander, for garnishing. So in a large, deep, heavy base pot, heat your oil. Add the mustard seeds. See, it's very important. Durban curry is very important that you fry everything first to really bring out all those gorgeous flavors. In a large, deep, heavy base pot, heat the oil, add the mustard seeds and the cumin seeds. You fry until you hear those seeds starting to pop. Then you add the curry leaves, garlic and chilies, and you fry until the onions are golden. Then you add that delicious secret masala, and you fry that for about a minute. Then you add your cooked sampan beans, and you cook that on medium heat for 15 minutes until heated through and the spices are really well mixed. If you want a thinner gravy, add a splash of boiling water, but don't forget to add salt and pepper to taste. Taste it then, see what you think of it, see if you like it, and then add, you know, a little bit more salt and pepper. Now, of course, she didn't let me down. She said that you can also, after you've finished frying some of the vegetables, you can add some pieces of lamb off the bone, you know, cubed lamb, and this is a wonderful way to turn your sampan beans curry into a lamb sampan beans curry mix. So we chatted about bunny chows, and you know, you can put whatever curry you want to into your bunny chow. But what I really would like to share is I've shared Jackie's lamb recipe with you. I'd like to share the beef recipe. Where are the you, Mr. Beef recipe? Okay, for those who didn't hear, I'm going to give another recipe quickly for red masala. This isn't the secret one, but this is also a delicious one, something that you can just keep, and I keep mine in the fridge. It's 1 teaspoon of dhania seeds, 6 or 7 cloves of garlic, 6 red chilies, 6 red chilies, or 1 tablespoon of cumin, juice of 1 lemon, 1 teaspoon turmeric, 1.5 teaspoon salt, 1 tablespoon of oil, and 1 tablespoon of grated coconut or desiccated coconut. And then you just pound it, or, you know, blend it in your blender, or you can mix it to a paste with your mort and pestle. But that is a really a terrific red masala. Banana curry. Well, I don't think we're going to have time to share our banana curry with you. But as I was saying, I do want to get back to the beef curry. And let me find that one for you quickly, because that really is lovely. It's Fatima's Fabulous Beef Curry. So it's a quick, modern, but distinctly Durban curry. And it's a family recipe updated by Chef Fatima Stanley. And what a family. Fatima is the firstborn of 7 and part of the Dunn clan. So she's descendants of the legendary hunter-trader Zulu chief, John Dunn, and his 49 wives. Okay, so I'm going to come back to you after the break.
An army marches on its stomach, and so does a community. Join Sharon Lurie Tuesdays at 11 a.m. for the Chai FM Cooking Corner. Come hungry.
Thanks for joining me. I'm Sharon Lurie, listening to 101.9 Chai FM, and this is the Cooking Corner. I'm the kosher butcher's wife, and I'm sharing Fatima's fabulous beef curry with you. So, as I said before the break, she is related to the Zulu chief John Dunn with his 49 wives. And when family get togethers, when families get together, boy, is this a get-together. It's huge. So no wonder she has to make huge pots of beef curry. So this is her recipe. It is 2 tablespoons of olive oil, 1 cinnamon stick, 2 bay leaves, and 1/2 teaspoon of fennel seeds. 1 medium onion, finely chopped. 2 cloves of garlic, finely minced. 1 tablespoon of fresh ginger, minced. 2 green chilies, sliced lengthwise. 1 teaspoon fresh thyme, or 1/2 teaspoon dried. 5 curry leaves. You can put more in. You can put a teaspoon of the dried curry leaves. 2 tablespoons of medium curry powder. 1 teaspoon ground coriander. 1 teaspoon ground cumin. 400 grams of cubed beef. 250 mils of tomato puree. So it's a cup of tomato puree, not paste, the puree. Fresh coriander chopped, as much as you want. As I said before, my friend and I argue as to how much coriander needs to go into curry. So you just put as much as you want. And then, of course, you can add some cooked chickpeas. This is optional. About a can of cooked chickpeas. And, of course, salt and pepper to taste. Put oil in a large saucepan over moderate heat. Add aromatics, which are your cinnamon stick, bay leaves, fennel seeds, and onions. And you cook, stirring occasionally until translucent. So that would probably be about 5 minutes. Then you add your garlic, your ginger, your chilies, thyme, curry leaves, and you cook and stir that for another minute. Then you add your curry powder. She uses medium curry powder. Cumin, and you cook that for another minute, and you stir all the spices in. You add the tomato puree, some chopped coriander, fresh coriander, salt to taste, and allow it to cook gently for about 15 to 20 minutes on moderate heat. And lastly, you add your chickpeas, allow it to cook through for 5 minutes. If you're not going to add chickpeas, I would probably add about 1/4 cup of water. Allow that to cook for about another 5 minutes. And then you garnish with coriander and you serve it with basmati rice, roti and sambals. Okay, so there you have it. They don't seem to use that much liquid in their curries, Durban curry makers. I know we like it to actually be quite not so runny, to put it mildly. Okay, and then don't forget, you serve this with beautiful, you can go into the shops, you can buy some nice acha, you can buy some desiccated coconut. I'm actually going to be doing a lot of curries for this Shabbos, because that's what my mother loved. And thank you once again for joining me. It's been terrific being in studio with you. I hope that you go home and make some lovely curries. Of course, there are Cape Malay curries, but as Eric has said, they're a bit more yellow. But we can discuss Cape Malay curries another time. I'll have to find a nice person to share Cape Malay chicken dish with you. Not chicken, fish, because you know I'm not so good with fish. And remember, it's the Eat and Meet that makes this show complete.